This is Chapter 1, The Leaving, from The What on Earth Institute of Wonder by Lisa Nichol, which is me, of course. It was 3 minutes past midnight. Sal Cassidy sat on the edge of her bed, fully dressed in her warmest socks and wooliest jumper, ears pricked, waiting for the familiar stuttering rumble of Bartholomew Stagger's camper van. Hector, perched on the windowsill, had both eyes trained on the far end of the street. "Shouldn't he be here by now?" worried Hector, sounding all antsy. Hector was a kakapo, a plump and portly parrot from the Isles of New Zealand. "He'll be here," said Sal, fiddling with the end of her plait. "Bartholomew won't let us down." "I know he won't," replied Hector, "but it's a full moon. Your mum sometimes goes for late-night strolls when the moon is full. I love a midnight ramble myself, but I'd rather not bump into her and have to explain ourselves." Sal rubbed her knees through the holes in her jeans in an effort to keep them warm. "Stop worrying, Hector. I've got it covered. I gave her a double dose of sleepy time tea. If anything's going to make my mother sleep through a full moon, it's a double dose of sleepy time tea." Hector leant his fat, feathered head out the window. Sal's mother's bedroom was directly below. "You're right," he said. "She's snoring like a sea lion." Sal got up and looked outside. The moon floated in the sky like a humongous, gargantuan, overgrown grape. She shut one eye, placed the moon between her index finger and thumb and squeezed it ever so gently, trying to hold it still. "What are you doing?" asked Hector, sounding all irritated. "I'm trying to distract myself. You should try it." "Plop, plop, 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 plop. That's the van. He's here. Bartholomew's here." Sal let go of the moon. She grabbed her backpack and threw it over her shoulder. She pulled on her beanie and her elbow-length cowhide glove, then stretched out her arm. Hector hopped on. Sal held him up to her face and looked into his dark chocolate turquoise-rimmed eyes. "You ready?" Hector blinked. "Ready." Sal tiptoed out of her bedroom and down the creaky wooden stairs to her little brother's room. "Prep more, not less," declared the sign on his door. Sal knocked as quietly as she could. The door opened. Roy was standing there in his usual attire, a headlamp on his head, an old World War II gas mask around his neck, and a full-length heavy-duty raincoat that covered everything except the steel-toed caps of his black leather boots. "He's here," whispered Sal. "You ready?" Roy switched on his headlamp. "Of course I'm ready. I'm always ready." Which was true. Roy was a doomsday prepper. He was ready for the apocalypse, which meant he was permanently prepared for pretty much anything. Roy reached down and grabbed the handle of a large bag at his feet. A mild look of exasperation fluttered across Sal's moon-shaped face. "That's huge," she whispered. "What have you got in there?" "Stuff," declared Roy. "What sort of stuff?" "The sort of stuff we'll need when stuff happens. That kind of stuff." "Don't worry, it's just my bug-out bag. Strictly the basics. No freeze-dried ice cream or anything." Sal winced. "You could have bought the freeze-dried ice cream, Roy. It hardly weighs a thing. That stuff's delicious." "Make up your mind," whispered Roy, a little annoyed with his sister's flip-flopping over supplies. "How about you leave the emergency provisions up to the expert, and clearly I'm the expert? I've trained for this sort of thing, don't forget. Plus I'm way strong." He wasn't. Roy was 8.5 years old and he was a titch. "Anyway, it's got wheels." Roy rolled his bag along the wooden floor to demonstrate. "Shh," shushed Sal, pointing manically at the closed door of their mother's bedroom. Roy froze, bringing his transportability demonstration to an abrupt yet wobbly halt. "You sure we shouldn't leave a note letting your mum know where we're going?" worried Hector some more. "But we don't know where we're going," whispered Sal. "That's true," conceded Hector, ruffling his moss-green feathers at the reminder they were about to set off into the darkness on a who-knows-how-long journey, destination unknown. "Come on," said Sal, keen to move away from her mother's bedroom, despite the double dose of sleepy time tea. And so the three of them, rippling with trepidation, tiptoed to the front door and out into the moonlit night. Plop, 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 plop. Lanky and tall, 14-year-old Bartholomew Stagger stood on the curb, arms crossed, leaning against the idling orange camper van, its stripy pop-top roof open like a sail billowing in the night sky. Bartholomew was pleased as punch with himself, Sal could tell, even with his sunglasses on. Did she fit? Sal asked, barely out the front door. She hurried towards the van. Roy followed, wheelie bag in tow. Bartholomew, as if about to perform a magic trick, unfolded his arms and with a slightly flamboyant flourish, slid the side door of the orange camper van open. And just like a magic trick, appeared the unmistakable grey, extremely wrinkled torso of an elephant. An adolescent African forest elephant, to be precise, not much taller than your standard professional basketball player. The elephant dropped its head down out of the pop-top roof and let out a low rumble, like a distant thunderstorm drifting across the savannah. Thank goodness you fit, said Sal, stroking the elephant's flank. Her trunk reached out and curled around Sal's waist. It sniffed Hector, who shuffled up onto Sal's shoulder to escape the inquisitive appendage. Told you, didn't I? Said Bartholomew Stagger, looking lovingly at the orange vehicle. Volkswagen Combi pop-top camper van. 1975. They don't make them like this anymore. It's a bit of a squeeze, girl, said Sal. But don't worry. We'll have you somewhere safe in no time. The elephant's trunk sniffed Sal's pat, then flicked it into the air. Don't make any promises, Sal. We have to get her out of Larry first, panicked Roy, without being seen, and then we'll be at the mercy of a hostile world. You don't need to worry, said Bartholomew, grabbing Roy's bag. Not with me behind the wheel. I hate it when people tell me not to worry, said Roy. In today's world, it's just not realistic. Bartholomew shoved Roy's bag in the back of the van, tucked the elephant's trunk inside and slid the side door shut. He loped his ray round to the driver's seat. For a 14-year-old, Bartholomew really was incredibly tall. Sal helped Roy up into the front, then climbed in beside him. Hector, still perched on her shoulder, turned round to face the elephant, both eyes locked on her curious trunk. Plop, 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 plop. Bartholomew put the combi into drive. He let the handbrake off and very slowly manoeuvred the orange camper van out into the dark, quiet suburban street. One elephant, one kakapo, one unlicensed teenage driver, one boy waiting for the world to end, and a 12-year-old girl with a very special gift. Plot, 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 plot,